Welcome to the His Way Out Ministries broadcast with Pastor Philip Lee. A friend says to you, once gay, always gay. How do you respond? My child just told me he's gay. What can I do? What causes same-sex attraction? Can a Christian be gay? If I disagree with homosexual practice, am I intolerant and homophobic? Is change possible for the homosexual? How should the church be responding? His Way Out Ministries is dedicated to raising awareness, educating, encouraging, and equipping the body of Christ to minister to men, women, and their families with the unwanted brokenness of same-sex attraction. We believe restoration is possible and available through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ and the healing power of the Holy Spirit. Christ Jesus is calling His church to meet the need of the hour. The question is, will we be prepared? And now, here's Pastor Philip Lee.
Good morning. Welcome once again to another broadcast of His Way Out Ministries. If you had the opportunity to join me last Saturday, then you're aware that my very special guest was Wayne Blakely, who's with me once again this morning here in the studio. Wayne is the retired co-founder of Coming Out Ministries, and he is also the director of Know His Word Ministry. So, Wayne, welcome back. Good to have you.
Thank you.
We're going to jump right in and pick up where we left off last Saturday. Okay with you?
Yes, indeed.
If I remember correctly, we had turned our attention to the wonderful scriptural passage, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 11, which clearly shows us that homosexual practice in God's eyes is a sin, not unlike many others. But in verse 11, which again, I believe is some of the sweetest words contained in his entire word, this is what some of you were pointing to past tense.
Yes.
There were men and women many, many years ago, thousands of years ago, that were practicing homosexuality and lesbianism, but they got out. And the question is, are they getting out today? And indeed they are. And keep reading that passage, and you see very clearly that it's through a deep, genuine, personal, intimate relationship with Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You and I speak to the topic of homosexuality personally and professionally. And last week you shared in great detail testimony. I want to give you the opportunity to maybe revisit that.
Sure. I'll give you a quick recap in that. You know, many people come to same-sex attraction from many different angles. Statistics show that 82% of those who identify as gay today have done so by abuse. Not everybody comes from that angle. You know, I think that the enemy of Jesus doesn't care. We get so focused sometimes on the causes that we don't even focus on the solution, and that's under his plan. For me, it started, I think Satan goes after you when you're in the womb. That happened with my situation. My birth mother didn't want a boy. She wanted a girl. She was very adamant about that. She had physically harmed me twice by breaking my arm before I was 2 years old. And so that left some indelible marks on me. My father was a career Air Forceman, and so he was actually going to give me to an aunt and an uncle. So basically, I had been abandoned by both parents. And that really can twist how your approach to life is. But praise God, he put me in a home of two dear relatives that became my parents, who raised me to love Jesus. What they didn't know was how to approach this facet of same-sex attraction. And so at 18 years old, I left the church because I didn't know what I was supposed to do. Praise the Lord, he stuck with me. He didn't leave me and brought me to the point of reintroducing me. I come before Jesus 10 years ago, and I basically ask him what it is that he is desiring of me. He had preserved my life. I didn't have any friends in the gay community that lived past the age of 50. I had about 40 very close friends that died from AIDS, and over 100 acquaintances. And I should have been the one who died. I lived a very promiscuous life. Not everybody does. Satan doesn't care how he lies to you. He can lie to you through the lie of having just one person in your life in gay monogamy. That's not scripturally supported. Or if he can keep you in deception by many partners, he'll do that too. He doesn't care how he gets your attentions. And so through the prayers of my parents, who kept loving me and caring about me, not beating me over the head with the Bible, but God heard their prayers and the Holy Spirit was working on my heart, I came to the point where I wanted to explore Jesus. Some people are maybe going, Satan can bring happiness too. We don't give him credit for that. Satan can bring a happiness, but it is not the happiness that Jesus would like us to have.
Sounds fun for a season, isn't it?
This is true. And so some people whose hearts, he knows whose hearts would be softened. And that's why prayer is so extremely important today, to keep praying for the person that you love. And I know gay sons and daughters of many people have gone back to their parents and said, don't stop praying for me, because they want to find the hope, the solutions that exist in Jesus and in his word. And truly, it is in that word was written for all time. My hope, the solutions for my sin problems are in God's word. And so I need to have that abiding relationship in Jesus Christ today. Otherwise, I'm not safe.
Amen. Amen. You know, you're touching something that's very, very important, I believe our listeners need to hear, and that the topic of homosexuality in and of itself is vast. And the various possible contributing factors to any man or woman struggling with same-sex attraction differ from person to person.
Yes.
Now, I do believe we need to appreciate and value that we are each born into a fallen world.
Right.
We all struggle with a sinful nature. What does that tell us? We're all broken.
Exactly.
And our brokenness can manifest differently from person to person. But in terms of turning our attention to the various contributing factors, we have to consider the possibility of family dynamics. What was going on in that little boy's life, that little girl's life, in the formative years between 2 and 11 years old?
Right.
Did they have the benefit of both mom and dad in the home, which lends that healthy balance? What about the possibility of abuse, mental, emotional, sexual? What about the temperament? What about peer pressure? Various factors that have to be considered. And they differ from person to person. So we can't say, here's one blanket statement, one blanket reason why you're struggling with same-sex attraction, because we're all each unique individuals.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
But that said, I think today there remains, even some people believe, you're same-sex attracted? Well, just stop it. Just stop being same-sex attracted.
Right.
Do you hear that also?
Yes, I have a little bit of a conundrum with that too, or an idea that I throw out there sometimes to who people don't get it. I mean, you let's say that you're around a whole bunch of rednecks, or you're around a bunch of Bible thumpers, and they're glued to their view on the world and their view on what needs to bring you to Jesus Christ. Well, let's turn that around for just a moment. Let's say that what is an abomination to Jesus Christ is actually heterosexuality. How many people are then on their knees praying for God to bring them same-sex attraction instead of opposite-sex attraction? I mean, it's a huge undertaking for somebody who's naturally wired through sin, through the effects of, and I don't expect a listener to grasp this all at once, but we have to understand what the great controversy is. Satan is wanting to undermine Jesus, to counterfeit Jesus in every way possible, and so he uses us as soon as he can get his hands on us at a very early age to defy us against Jesus Christ. And so it pins us against each other, and what God is asking is that we would all see ourselves as brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, that I would have a heart for you who might struggle with child pornography, or with an adulterous relationship, or with an insatiable appetite, that while it may not be my problem, that I would look beyond the problem, that I would love you as an individual, that I would take your concerns to Jesus Christ in prayer, because Jesus is in the business of miracles and in healing, and we need to believe that about each other. James 5:16 says, let's come together, confess our faults to one another, our weaknesses to each other, and pray for the healing that is promised. This is something that is possible in a committed church family, to come humbly before the feet of Jesus and to seek him together, to seek his ways, which are not our ways.
Yes. Let's speak to what I believe is a critically, critically important point for every and each faithful follower of Jesus Christ. Once again, we are sexual beings. That's how God created us. Our sexuality, I still believe, is a wonderful gift from God. But how important is it to understand that for a Christian, our true identity is in Christ and not our sexuality?
Well, I take a little bit of an issue with this. You know who came up with the term that we are sexual from birth? I think I made some reference to this in the previous interview that I did, was that because of the research that was done by Alfred Kinsey, the manipulation of infants to the point of orgasm that he did, he coined the phrase, we are sexual from birth. Now, I do believe that God created us as sexual beings, but that sexuality really doesn't belong to us. It is actually a gift from God under the confines of which he can approve of, which is a relationship between a man and a woman. And I know many heterosexuals, too, that they don't really have it so easy. It's not so easy for them to meet Mr. Right or Mrs. Right, unless it falls under the right circumstances, you know, of which God presents. And it's difficult. I today still have that yearning, that desire to want somebody in my life that would have a great meaning, that I could have companionship with. But I know God's ways are not my ways, that he knows what's better for me better than I know myself. Could it be that if I fell so madly in love with someone, even today, of the opposite sex, that it would remove my focus off of Jesus Christ, where I deeply need to keep it? I would say this, that we are living in the very end. Obviously, this, as a Christian, you know that this world comes to an end, that the wickedness gets so out of control that finally Jesus has to step in and say, this is it. But there is a remnant people that believe in me, and because they believe in me, that I am rewarding them with life with me forever. Consider that Jesus knows us before we're born. And I believe that in this age of which we live in, that Jesus knew you and I, that while it would be a great trial for us, while we would have desires of need and things that focus on ourselves, that he knew that we would be soldiers for him, that we would come before him, that we would advocate for the purity of Jesus Christ, for his ways and not the ways of the counterfeit, which is Satan, who is trying to draw us into his camp.
Amen. Amen. I believe that we really need to consider something I've been actually sharing for many, many years, in that the crisis that we are facing today, not only in the world, but certainly in the Church of Jesus Christ, in so many respects, is no longer about homosexuality, but really the true crisis is the Lordship of Christ and the authority of Scripture. The Bible today is under relentless bombardment and attack. And this realization came flooding to me not that long ago when I was actually sharing in a church. And I was sharing testimony, and I shared at that point in time that I was like 17 years old now in my new life in Christ. And as a single man, during those 17 years, by God's grace, I had led a life of celibacy. And I shared that. Well, after I concluded, we opened up for questions, and immediately arms just shot right up. And one particular lady, she said, I need to get this straight. Are you telling us for these past 17 years, you've led a life of celibacy? I said, yes, ma'am, by God's grace. She said, quote, that is without a doubt the saddest thing I've ever heard in my entire life. And I thought that was enough, but she took it further. She said, didn't Jesus say that he'd come to give us life and life more abundantly? I said, yes, ma'am, that's John 10:10. And she said, quote, then you should be able to go out and do anything and everything you want to do.
Oh.
Now, I didn't say it out loud, but I guarantee you I was thinking, well, isn't that special?
Yes.
But that was a picture that brought what I had actually been thinking and viewing, not only in the world, but in the church. It brought it into crystal clarity. And I'm very, very concerned as we move forward, knowing that God is still redeeming, he's still delivering men and women from the snare and the brokenness of same-sex attraction. But the church, I believe, needs to step more to the forefront and do what God has called us to do. It's one matter to stand and defend the authority of Scripture. Yes, absolutely. But ultimately, with regard to homosexuality, so many today want to make it an issue, just an issue. And we're forgetting this is all about people. People whom God loves and people for whom Jesus died. How about yourself?
I agree. I believe that here's what's happened is that Satan has so carefully orchestrated this over time that today we have put such huge emphasis on sexual fulfillment when there is lots of other things to live for. But that's what sells everything today is sex. One of the sad things in the church today is that empathy and sympathy has gone to the point of what we as humans think each other deserve instead of what Jesus desires for us. And so it is hard sometimes to help someone understand what the call, what the plan of Jesus is. When they say, well, that's just not fair that you wouldn't have sexual fulfillment in your life. Well, guess what? Sin is not fair. And so it is that we are not living in a perfect world. And I am not living today with my focus on sex. My focus is actually to be on my Savior, on my Creator, Jesus Christ. I had delivered a presentation once at a church, and afterwards a paraplegic came down in a wheelchair, and he said to me, do you know why Satan is so successful with his button pushing on sex? And I said, well, it's because we all have feelings that we respond to that way. And he says, no, not just that, something far more important. He said, consider how the angels were made. And it was like, oh, wow, it clicked all immediately with me, was that the angels were not created with as sexual beings. And so here's Satan pushing the sex button through rape, through incest, through adulterous relationships, through homosexual relationships, through murder, through every conceivable thing. He just keeps pushing that sex button and we keep responding to it. And he goes, wow, these guys are easy. All I have to do is hit this sex button and they sin. And so it told me immediately that I need to have a strong safeguard in Jesus Christ.
Absolutely. I'd like to get your take on, for men and women that have left homosexuality behind, they've turned their full attention, body, soul, and spirit to Christ, and doing their utmost to live within God's well-defined holy boundary lines, including, of course, sexual expression. What do you think about the term ex-gay? Do you think that's appropriate? Not appropriate?
You know, it's interesting. Somebody just sent me I think it was a testimony of someone else the other day, was identifying as ex-gay. And I said, you know, I wasn't really so interested in looking at the testimony because I said, I don't like the term. It puts the focus in the wrong place. I'd rather say that today I'm a new creature in Jesus Christ. I don't identify as gay or ex-gay or gay Christian or anything like that. My identity is in Jesus. I want the emphasis and the focus to be on him. It's not to say that I don't suffer from same-sex attraction because of my long history of 40 years in the gay community and also the devious acts of sex that I was so heavily involved with in a promiscuous way. I believe I am thwarted with those attractions and temptations today, that Satan's going to try to regain me any way he can. And so my focus, my identity has to be grounded, centered in Jesus Christ, that I will walk with him and see that I'm his child, that I'm not just an ex-gay. That's like coming and saying, well, I'm an ex-alcoholic or something. Tell me who you are. You know, you're a sober Christian today. You know, wow, look at the amazing things that Jesus has done.
Absolutely.
But I'm not, I will say this, that if somebody uses that term, it's not that I'm going to be offended by it. It's just in a different way than how I describe myself.
I think of myself more as an ex-heathen than an ex-gay. You know, I'm intrigued, even to date, in terms of the gay community. And again, this is a subject you and I speak to personally. Mm-hmm. I think sometimes we are presented an illusion that gay communities around the world are this unified front. And that is a fallacy, because there are many men and women in the gay community. They hate the word gay. They think same-sex marriage is a total joke, but we're led to believe that gay communities are this united front.
Yes.
But there's great diversity in their own camp.
Absolutely. Oh, wow. This is a touchy subject, because the people that you're hearing making it appear as though it is a united front are from gay activists who love to get in the midst of controversy and want to find meaning and want to represent a group of like-minded individuals, when basically what it boils down to for most of them is that, yes, they have in unity amongst themselves same-sex attraction, but that's probably about where it ends. I will say this, that I often have people come to me after seminars and say, we have gay friends. They're the nicest people that we know. And I hope that people are saying that about you and I as well. But I don't want my niceness to cover up my sin.
Right.
And so, you know, it's important that we approach this from the right angle. And usually when I end up talking to somebody who has found comfort in the gay community, is that when I begin to peel away the layers of the onion, I do find that there was a contributing factor that really hurt them, that pushed them into that community from a long time ago. And if we would begin to look at the central problem or the originating problem and looking at inviting Jesus to come in and bring healing there or forgiveness, whatever the case may be, that there is great hope inside of Christianity and a belief in Jesus Christ that is currently argued from those who want to put hate as a descriptive of Christians. Christians have been ignorant in a lot of ways, and they have mistreated people in a lot of ways. Some Christians, not all Christians. So it would be nice if the gay community would allow a true representation of Jesus, one that is based in love, to open up to the message, that saving message that Jesus offers each and every one of us.
You and I travel quite a bit, extensively.
Yeah.
We're traveling here in the States and even abroad. Based upon your experience in your personal travels, how would you describe how most gays view the church?
Universally, I would say angrily. I've seen a lot of hurt people because, it's interesting. This came up online the other day on my Facebook page, and somebody got very indignant about the fact that, homosexuals were going to burn. And I said, well, you know, God may be looking at something in your own life that needs taken care of. We all have problems in our lives, but I'm a little concerned about the angle that was being taken and showing hatred towards, the gay community. What really came out of it was the fact that this man had been molested by another man, by his stepbrother, when he was younger. And this, you can imagine, this brought about such huge anger from him. and understandably so. But in my conversation with him, he recognized that God was calling upon him to have a forgiving spirit. In forgiveness, there is healing. My pipe dream is that the church would apologize for the horrible ways that it has treated gays and same-sex attracted people in the past. And in that same breath, that the gay community who's interested in Jesus would come and say, thank you for your apologies. And can we go, can we study this topic out in the Bible together and come to a belief of the understanding of the truth of Jesus Christ?
I completely and thoroughly agree with you that I do believe, even to date, that we, the church, do owe the gay community, in many respects, an apology. And I'm rethinking now, once again, because both you and I have lost many, 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 many friends. I remember in 1980, I was then living in San Francisco, and that's when the AIDS epidemic, now it's a pandemic, unfolded, in which I lost some of my dearest, closest friends. Actually, some of the men were the very first to die of AIDS. And the church missed one of the greatest opportunities, greatest ministry opportunities, I believe, in the history of the church. Instead of running to these individuals that needed tons of love, encouragement, and support, we didn't step to the plate very well, and the gay community has not forgotten that.
Right, exactly. Thankfully, there have been some that did see it. I've heard of chaplains and pastors that went into hospitals at the beds of those who were suffering and told them how much that he loved and cared about them and how Jesus loved them too. So that, you know, those rare individuals would receive that kind of peace, you know, even at their deathbed. Praise the Lord. God knows the hearts of every single person whose heart would have responded to a redemptive call. He knows the beginning from the end. I think that we'll be very surprised by who we'll see in heaven.
There was a phone conversation I had with my very last friend, who unfortunately he also passed away with AIDS. He was still living in San Francisco. I'm now living in Bakersfield. We're talking on the phone. And we had kind of grown apart because he was still very much a member of the gay community. And the party was on. I'm now a Christian. I'm in church. I want to talk about the Bible and what happened at church, etc. And we started to grow apart. We had nothing more really in common to discuss. But the last thing he said to me, again, before he passed away with AIDS was, "Philip, we don't understand what's happened to you, but whatever it is, don't come back to this. Whatever you found, keep it up." Wow. I never forgot that statement.
Praise the Lord. You know, it was interesting that the person who was responsible for me coming out of the closet at 18 years old, on his deathbed, he said, "Wayne, it's wrong. It's not right. What we did, what we've been doing is not right. It doesn't please Jesus."
It's not gay. One final question before we have to conclude. I believe education is the key, especially for the church.
Yes.
If we're going to be able to reason with and connect with gay-identified men and women, we have to come to a greater place of understanding where they are and what they've lived and how they're viewing all this. Would you agree?
Yes, I do. Absolutely.
I'm sharing that here in the States, and certainly when we are overseas in the Caribbean and South America, because let's say it this way. If God had called you and I, let's say, to be a missionary in China, don't you know we would be studying the culture, we'd be learning the language, because we don't want to just speak at them. We want to connect. And if we're going to connect with the gay community, we've got to come to a place of greater understanding. That said, it's still all about Jesus.
Amen.
I don't deliver anyone. I don't redeem anyone. Nope. That's his business. But we are the messenger. And to share Christ with gay community or any other community around the world is a privilege and a responsibility. Amen?
Amen.
Thank you so much for being here.
You're so welcome.
I'd like to have you back again in the near future.
Thank you. I'd look
forward
to it.
I really appreciated this conversation. To all of our listeners, thanks so much for tuning in. See you same time, same station. God bless you.
Thanks so much for tuning in this morning. Please join us next Saturday for another His Way Out Ministries broadcast, dedicated to ministering to the body of Christ and the community at large, with the power of testimony, the dialogue of issues, and the truth of Scripture.